Welcome to the DMD edition of Rare Disease Advisor's Rare Care Podcast, offering unique perspectives from researchers, clinicians, and influencers from the Duchenne muscular dystrophy community.
Hello, this is Larry Luxner, Senior Correspondent for Rare Disease Advisor. We're talking today with Dr. Pradeep Mamin, Professor of Internal Medicine and Director of the Neuromuscular Cardiomyopathy Clinic at UT Southwestern in Dallas, Texas. He's also co-director of the NIH-funded UT Southwestern Wellstone Center. Dr. Mamin has done extensive research on the issue of female carriers of muscular dystrophy. Thanks for being here with us today.
Thank you very much, Larry.
Let's start by talking about the issue of female carriers of muscular dystrophy. Duchenne is, of course, a boys' disease, boys and young men. We almost never hear about the girls.
Until recently. So it was believed that carriers, so this disease is transmitted in general from mother to son because it's an X-linked disease. And it's most of the previous data was really from the pediatric world where it was not felt that carriers were very symptomatic. But over the last 20 years, as the DMD boys are becoming adults, this disease is now being managed a lot by adult cardiologists and neurologists. And we are following many of these carriers, and we're learning that many carriers, as they age, oftentimes have their hearts are affected. Not so much their skeletal muscle, but their hearts due to something called X inactivation. And essentially, their hearts don't see any dystrophin, and they develop a cardiomyopathy as they age, not in all, but in a select few.
Can you explain this X-linked deactivation?
Inactivation, yes. So it's called X inactivation, means that it relates to an X-linked disease. So dystrophin is carried on the X chromosome. And so when a boy or a male develops dystrophin, they only have one X because they're XY. And so they have the full-blown disease. They don't make any dystrophin. While a female, a mother or a sister of a son, of a patient with Duchenne's, they have one wild-type X. So they make 50% dystrophin, but that other X, they don't make any dystrophin. So they do make some dystrophin, but in heart cells, we don't know why, but in heart cells, that wild type X that makes that normal dystrophin is silenced. It's called X inactivation. We don't understand why that happens, but it happens. And in those individuals, they will likely progress in their cardiomyopathy and develop advanced heart failure over time.
Why is it that female carriers of Duchenne have heart problems, but not muscular problems? Why are the effects limited to the heart?
So that's an interesting question. We honestly don't know that answer. There is active interest in this area. I will say, and we may talk about this a little later on, there is about 5% or so of DMD carriers that do have muscle disease of their skeletal muscle. And once again, in that scenario, their wild type X in their skeletal muscle is also silenced. But why only 5%? That's the million-dollar question. We don't know the answer to that.
Well, you did mention in your presentation that about two-thirds of cases of Duchenne are passed from mother to child.
Yes.
And only one-third of Duchenne boys are de novo mutations.
Yeah.
So that not all Duchenne patients have a mother who's a carrier, but that's why it's important to get tested.
Absolutely. You're absolutely correct. About one-third are de novo. And so knowing if a female is a carrier is very important because if they're a carrier, they really need to be screened to comprehensively assess their cardiovascular status because we have drugs and medications that can delay or prevent development of cardiomyopathy if started early in their life.
At what age do you generally see these women?
So, I mean, I can see them at any time. In my clinic, I'll see them as young as 15, but I am an adult heart failure cardiologist, so in general, greater than 18. I mean, the sooner the better, the sooner we can screen them. So in general, I would say in their early 20s.
When do they come to you with problems?
They come as early as 20 and as late as 70 years old. I have a whole spectrum of female carriers that I see. And they're referred to me by the neuromuscular neurologist, by internists and by word of mouth through groups like Cure the Shins and other patient advocacy groups have referred these patients to.
But generally, these women, their doctors don't always know that they have a son with Duchenne.
Yeah.
So they may not know what they have or even the fact that their problems are related to the Duchenne that's manifested in their son's disease, correct?
That's correct. So, you know, 10, 15 years ago, I mean, adult cardiologists or heart failure cardiologists were notorious for not taking very extensive family histories. Mm-hmm. And so back, you know, there are many, many women who had what we call idiopathic cardiomyopathy in the 90s and 2000s. And we just said, we don't know why you have heart failure, but your heart failure is progressing. We need to talk about artificial pumps and transplant, and we transplant their hearts. Right. It's, I would say, in the last decade where we started linking the genetic diseases like Duchenne's to development of heart failure. And now it's becoming more and more known that we need to screen females that come to us for evaluation for heart failure. You know, do they have Duchenne's? They may not have a family history, but we should do genetic screening. And that's part of our screening for women.
What other diseases are similar to Duchenne in that they're X-linked and that women are carriers?
Oh, boy. So the cousin of Duchenne's, the most common, is Becker's muscular dystrophy. Mm-hmm. So the difference between Duchenne's and Becker's, both X-linked diseases, is that in Duchenne's, a patient will not produce any dystrophin. And a Becker's patient will form a truncated version of that protein. Mm-hmm. And once again, this protein, dystrophin, think of it as Dr. Olson also describes it as a shock absorber. It surrounds a cell, a muscle cell, and protects that cell from the stress of contraction.
And so, patients who don't have sufficient dystrophin or not enough or no dystrophin at all, obviously don't have that protection.
And those muscle cells get stressed out and they die.
Right. I want to ask you this. In your presentation, you also mentioned that 2/3 of patients have some type of scarring in their hearts, which is an early sign that their hearts are abnormal.
Yes.
Why 2/3?
I don't know the answer to that. Not all carriers will have scarring. Mm-hmm. It may be the point in which they enter. So, for example, I had one female carrier that was in the late 20s, had a normal MRI with no signs of scarring. And we chose not to start treatment on her. And I just followed her once a year. And about 3-4 years later, we repeated the MRI. And now there was scarring. So it could be the time, you know, that study that I mentioned was a point in time. As we develop more and more patients and we see over the spectrum of a lifespan of a female carrier, we may be finding that some develop scarring and development of structural disease later in life.
Mm-hmm. What about, for example, the drugs you mentioned that actually can help these women? I'm assuming there are half a dozen various therapies that can be used, if not to cure them, at least to delay the symptoms or to reduce the stress of these symptoms.
Yes, absolutely. And it actually goes beyond just Duchenne's carriers in essentially... So in our field of heart failure transplant, that we have a classification where we stage people by stage A, B, C, D. Patients with stage A are people at high risk of developing cardiomyopathy. So that's patients like Duchenne's carriers, genetic forms, patients with hypertension, diabetes. In that scenario, we know we have lots of data that suggests that classes of drugs like these ACE inhibitors are beneficial and delay or prevent the development of cardiomyopathy.
So you start them as soon as possible?
As soon as possible. If you're stage B, meaning you don't have symptoms of heart failure, but structurally, based on MRI, you have a structural abnormal heart, mm-hmm. those patients also benefit from ACE inhibitors. So it is the one thing hopefully we can take away from this conversation is that carriers really need to be screened by a heart failure cardiologist and really need to undergo a cardiac MRI as one of several tests to comprehensively assess their cardiovascular status.
Should daughters also be tested?
So that's a great question. A lot of patients ask me that question. If they're above 18 years old, I say absolutely yes. There is some data. There's an old study, an Italian study, that suggested that young carriers, younger than 15, the risk of developing a cardiomyopathy or any cardiovascular issue at a very young age is low. And so I think if your daughter is less than 18, it's a personal decision between the parents and the daughter whether to screen and to find out the mutation and to see a cardiologist. Because a lot of it can, there's a lot of implications by knowing you're a carrier, not only for that young child, but from an insurance standpoint and all that. And so I leave it up to the family to decide.
That also raises a question of newborn screening. I've heard both sides of this issue. Yeah. A lot of people say all states should include Duchenne in their panel for the screening of rare diseases. And yet I've also heard if there's no cure, why screen for something that you can't cure? Why would you want to have the knowledge of this fatal disease?
So that's a great question. And that that response, that latter response, was maybe pre-2000. I would say in the last 10 years, we have lots of potential therapies for Duchenne's patients, so males that have Duchenne's. And so I would say 100% we should screen newborns, especially males, for Duchenne's, because there is clearly evolving data that there are multiple therapies, if started early, that we can delay or prevent, not prevent, but delay this devastating disease from progressing. And so that approach that you mentioned is kind of pre-2000. Clearly in 2022, we really should include Duchenne's as part of the prenatal screening for males. For females, it's a little not clear, but for males, 100%. I am very supportive of that.
That brings me to my last question, since we are running out of time. Sure. Girls with full-blown Duchenne, it's rare, it's almost unheard of, but there are some cases, right?
So there are about 5 to 10% of female carriers may behave like a male with Duchenne's, meaning they're wheelchair-bound at an early age, their diaphragms of the lungs are affected, they have restrictive lung disease, and their hearts are affected. We don't know why that 5% of carriers develop such severe disease. You know, I actually took care of a young female who was in her 20s. Unfortunately, she passed away of pulmonary issues. But it's pretty evident that they have disease in their teenage years. And the approach you take for those patients are just like their male counterparts, very aggressively. And some of these treatments that are coming out for the male patients likely will be applied to the female carriers that have full-blown disease.
But is it fair to say anymore that Duchenne is only a male disease?
95% of the time. I think it's still a male disease in terms of the severity of the right. disease. But carriers still need to be taken care of, especially from a cardiovascular standpoint, and in that 5% that have full-blown disease need care. So I would still say it's a male predominantly oriented disease, but you can't ignore the female carriers. Absolutely not. They also need to be cared for and screened, but maybe in a more narrow fashion.
Remember the girls.
Yes, absolutely. Remember them. Yes.
Dr. Mehmet, thank you so much for your time. Nice talking with you.
Thank you.
Be sure to follow the latest news, perspectives, and clinical resources on rare diseases at rarediseaseadvisor.com. Thank you for listening.